Talking about cover crop mulches for weed control.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for the introduction. Again, my name is Rachel Atwell, and I'm a graduate student at NC State under the advisement of Chris Reberg-Horton, who is the organic grain cropping specialist, and Alan York, weed scientist. And I'm delighted to talk to you today about a project that we're working on looking at using cover crop mulches and cotton production in both a conventional and organic weed control context. Historically, cover crops have been focused on for some of their longer-term benefits like soil erosion reduction and nitrogen scavenging, but with an increasing amount of rented acreage being farmed, it can be difficult to incentivize cover crop adoption for some of these longer-term benefits. There are tangible short-term benefits of using cover crops like weed suppression and soil moisture conservation, and conventional growers can use cover crops to help them manage herbicide-resistant weeds. We have a demand for locally produced organic cotton in the Southeast, and we've had a couple growers attempt this in North Carolina, and they failed largely due to weed control challenges. Organic grain growers remain heavily dependent on cultivation as their primary weed control mechanism, and using a cover crop mulch can help mitigate risk for an organic grower when unfavorable weather prevents timely mechanical cultivation. We've used heavy residue cover crops successfully in North Carolina for weed control in organic corn and soybean production, and we want to investigate how this system would work for organic cotton producers. Our objective was to look at the management effects of a cereal rye crimson clover cover crop in both a conventional and organic weed control context and how that affected cotton emergence, soil moisture, soil temperature, weed suppression, and cotton yield. We conducted this study over two growing seasons at these research stations in North Carolina for a total of 5 research locations. We used a cereal rye and crimson clover cover crop mixture. We selected cereal rye because it's a high biomass producing cover crop, and biomass is directly related to how much weed suppression you get in the subsequent crop. We used crimson clover for 2 reasons. First, for an organic grower, early season nitrogen release from the crimson clover could be important for early season infertility management. And we also selected an early flowering crimson clover variety that we hoped through leaf senescence would help fertilize the rye in the spring to help maximize biomass. These species were planted together in mid-October and then terminated in 2 different ways. First was using a roller crimper pictured on your right. And this roller crimper rolls and simultaneously crimps the cover crop stem, which promotes desiccation, and this is a popular tool for cover crop termination for organic growers. We also looked at terminating the cover crop with herbicide burn down using a highboy sprayer and paraquat. We planted cotton directly into the cover crop regardless of termination strategy, and we used this planter, which has been modified to plant reliably and efficiently into these heavy residue covers. So it's resulted in this current planter design. We've got those initial residue managers on an added front toolbar, and when those are engaged, they'll move 6 to 8 inches of cover crop residue from the crop row. Those can be floated, just engaging that residue slicer on the back of that front toolbar, and if conditions permit and the residue is dry enough, we can get a clean slice through the residue and very minimal movement of the residue from the crop row. So these different cover crop termination strategies and residue manipulation at planting informed our treatment design. So we first looked at rolling down the cover crop, engaging those initial residue managers, and moving the cover crop residue from the crop row. Our second treatment was identical to that first treatment, except we fertilized the cover crop in March with 34 kgs per hectare of nitrogen. And the objective there was to look at how that affected cover crop biomass and subsequently planting into that cover crop biomass. Our third treatment, pictured in the middle, is where we floated those initial residue managers, rolled the cover crop, and just engaged that residue slicer. And you can see there's minimal residue movement from the crop row. And this treatment's of particular importance for organic growers who have no affordable way to control in-row weeds once you move the residue from the crop row. We've had good success getting a stand with this type of planting strategy for organic corn and soybeans, but we hypothesize it could be more problematic for cotton emergence. Finally, we looked at terminating the cover crop with herbicide burn down and planting directly into standing cover crop, which would be the option for a grower who doesn't have a roller crimper. And we had a no cover crop treatment for comparison purposes. So we ran this study in a split plot design. The main plot was this cover crop treatment, and subplot was with or without herbicides, where we're trying to represent a conventional and organic weed control context. We recognized we went out heavy with the herbicides, but we were really trying to keep those plots weed-free to compare them to organic plots. We collected data on cover crop biomass, cotton emergence, soil temperature, soil moisture, weed coverage, weed biomass, and cotton yield. We again ran the study in a split plot design and had 6 replications per location, and all of our data was analyzed using PROCMIX and SAS. To move into some of our results, these are our results for cover crop biomass. So we've got our 5 different sites. We've got our cover crop dry biomass without fertilizing the cover crop, and then we've got our cover crop biomass where we did fertilize the cover crop with 30 units of nitrogen in March. And that provided anywhere from 400 to 1,400 kgs per hectare more cover crop biomass. But I'll note that for consistent season-long weed control and organic production, we like to see 9,000 kgs per hectare of cover crop biomass, which we didn't come close to achieving at any of these sites, but which we have achieved consistently in other research trials in North Carolina. So that translated into heavy weed pressure across all of our treatments where we didn't use a herbicide. When we use a herbicide in combination with the cover crop mulch, we saw excellent weed control across all these cover crop management strategies. To move into our cotton emergence results, we've got cover crop treatment on the x-axis and cotton emergence on the y-axis. This is averaged over our herbicide treatments and over our 5 locations. But what I want to highlight is where we had standing cover crop, we're trending towards declines in cotton emergence, and we definitely see declined cotton emergence where we left the cover crop present in row at planting by floating those initial residue managers. And this is a picture of what that can look like when you float those initial residue managers. If your cover crop residue is wet, it can cause that residue slicer to hairpin the residue into the seed furrow and prevent good seed-to-soil contact. We didn't see this much gappiness across that treatment at all of our locations. It depended on how wet the cover crop residue was at planting. To move on to our soil moisture results, on the x-axis we've got sampling events or weeks after planting, and on the y-axis we've got soil moisture. The colored bars correspond with our individual cover crop management treatments, and this is again averaged over herbicide treatment in our 5 locations. We see similar trends across all of the sampling events, so I'll focus on our 9 weeks after planting results. And what we can see is that regardless of cover crop management strategy, the presence of a cover crop always enhances soil moisture availability. To highlight our cotton yield results, herbicide treatment affected cotton yield at every location. Where we didn't use herbicides, as you might expect, we saw heavy weed pressure with the level of cover crop biomass we had in this study. In fact, we couldn't even pick the organic plots at 3 of our 5 locations. Cover crop management did not affect yield in 4 of our 5 locations. At our Lewiston 2015 location, we tested a reduced number of treatments, but here we can see that where we rolled and left that cover crop present in row, we did see a decline in yield, and that's likely due to that gappy stand and reduction in cotton emergence. At this environment, we had wet residue at planting, and so we didn't get as good of a stand as we would have hoped. We can also see at this environment in the weed-free plot, we're trending towards an increase in yield where we had a cover crop, but it was absent in the crop row, which is likely attributed to soil moisture conservation compared to where we had no cover crop. So So what are some conclusions from this research? Well, with the cover crop biomass levels we got, it would not provide adequate weed control for a potential organic cotton producer in North Carolina. We were disappointed with this research because using these same strategies for cover crop management, we've seen higher cover crop biomass production in North Carolina. So I think it's merited to do more research on these eastern North Carolina coastal plain soils to see how we can maximize cover crop biomass and get the levels of biomass that we need for reliable weed control for organic growers. We saw excellent weed control when our herbicides were used in combination with the cover crop mulch. In the future, it's merited to look at different herbicide combinations with the cover crop mulch and see where we might be able to reduce costs. Soil moisture conservation was observed regardless of the cover crop management strategy, which I think is exciting news, particularly to look at the fact that you're seeing soil moisture conservation planting into a standing cover crop at the same level you're seeing planting into a rolled cover crop. And from a soil moisture standpoint and a yield standpoint, it appears that our growers will have some flexibility in cover crop termination and residue management at planting. There's been a fair amount of work done in this system for other organic grain crops as well as some in conventional cotton production, and those trials helped inform our treatment design for this study. I would like to thank all the folks that helped with this study and our funding sources, and I'd love to try to answer any questions. The question is, if I was interested in organic cotton production in North Carolina, do I have a prayer? And I'll admit, in this study, we know the largest challenge for our growers so far has been weed control, so we only looked at the weed control aspect of organics in this study. We didn't address the insects. We didn't address the varieties. But I'd say in a dry year, you might have a go at it if you're cultivating. But in a wet year, that's where the growers that have attempted it have lost their yield because they couldn't cultivate timely. I think if you can find the production practices that will help you maximize cover crop biomass, particularly if you're a long-term organic farmer who's got higher residual nitrogen from manure and legume use, you might be able to get greater biomass and help you with your weed control, but then you've just solved one challenge. And you'll have to figure out your insect control, varietal selection. So I think it's worth investigating, continuing to investigate because we have the demand, but I wouldn't say right now that we have any reliable recommendations. The question is, can you use any type of herbicide as a burn down in an organic system? And the answer is you can't use any synthetic herbicide. You can, when you transform into organics, you can't use any synthetic herbicide for 3 years and then throughout your certification as an organic producer. There are organic herbicides available, but on a large scale grain or fiber production scenario, it's not likely that those are efficacious or affordable.